The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Next, a question and answer about the free grace position. These questions come from listeners just like you, and if you have one, send it to us. Our email address for this purpose, radio@faithalone.org. This is Grace in Focus, the radio podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We love coming to you Monday through Friday. And you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Be sure to take advantage of the free subscription to our magazine, Grace in Focus. It's published 6 times a year, full color, great articles. Find out more about it at our website, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
David, I have a question here from Eric. Eric says, I am a Christian who grew up with a free grace understanding, and now I'm wrestling with some of that understanding. And he has 2 passages he wants to know about. How are free grace believers to interpret verses such as Matthew 5:29 and 30, which sounds very much works-oriented? And then he says, also, I just finished reading Galatians, which seems very much about faith alone until Paul's warning in Galatians 5:21 about inheriting the kingdom. What are free grace believers to do with this? So let's first of all look at Matthew 5:29 and 30. Do you have that
passage? I sure do.
Okay.
If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than that for your whole body to be cast into hell.
Okay, now there's several things to say about this, but the first thing I would say, Eric, is what the person with Athletes in Action told me when he evangelized me. He was trying to help me get assurance, and he kept quoting Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept bringing up all kinds of passages. What does James 2 mean? What does Hebrews 6 mean? What does Hebrews 10? And his answer was always some short answer, but he would always say, but whatever it means, it can't contradict Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm.
This is called the analogy of faith, that Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture.
Right.
And that we understand the difficult passages in light of the simple ones. So, whatever Matthew 5:29 and 30 means, it doesn't contradict Ephesians 2:8 and 9 or John 3:16 or John 5:24. Secondly, I would say there's a very simple explanation to this, and that is, if you notice here, he's been talking about adultery in verses 27 and 28, and he's saying that the law said you're not to commit adultery, but what Jesus says, if you look after a woman to lust for her, you've already committed adultery in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is a higher standard than the law. Same thing, he would go on to talk about hatred, etc. And so then he says this statement about plucking out your eye if it causes you to sin. And some people have taken this literally. He doesn't mean this literally. He's just saying, don't allow your eye to linger over something that you shouldn't linger on. Someone else's wife would be an example of something you should not linger on. Luther used to say, you can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. Well, in the same way, what the Lord is saying here is you don't lust after someone else's wife, and you can avoid doing that by not allowing your eye to linger too long.
Right.
What's interesting here, notice he talks about perishing, that one of your members perish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does he mean? Does he mean that your eye would go to hell?
I doubt it.
Okay, so what would he mean then? In what sense would your eye or your hand or your foot...
It would decay.
It would die, basically, right?
Yeah.
It would be lost.
Mm-hmm. Turn back into dust.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it goes to hell. And then he says, then for your whole body to be cast into hell. What this is, this, I think, is like Hebrew parallelism. The idea is, it's better for one part of your body to perish than your whole body to perish.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using perish, he talks about Gehenna, Now, mm-hmm. Gehenna could either be understood as the place outside Jerusalem where they used to perpetually burn trash, which would mean that he's saying that your whole body dies, but it could refer simply to Sheol or Hades. But guess what? That was the place of the dead, both believers and unbelievers.
The grave.
Right. It was mm-hmm. the grave, because if you look at Luke 16, 19 through 31, both the rich man and Lazarus end up in Hades mm-hmm. or Sheol, one in the good part, Abraham's bosom, and the other in the place of torment. Mm-hmm. But the point here is, it's better for you if you were to lose something, this one body part, then your whole body perish, your mm-hmm. whole body die. And by the way, in the millennium, which this section here is looking at, ultimately the way things will be during the millennium, mm-hmm. there's going to be a stricter judgment. People are going to be dying for calling someone a knucklehead, and people are going to be dying for committing adultery and things like that. Mm-hmm. What we need to recognize here is this is a higher standard, but also he's not talking about heaven and hell here.
Right.
He's talking about simply perishing, dying.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Secondly, he wants to know about Galatians 5:21. Could you read Galatians 5:19 to 21, David? By the way, I have an article on this called Christians Who Lose Their Legacy. It's about a 20-page journal article. So go to faithalone.org and you can get a lot more details.
Okay, Galatians 5:19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Very good. And the word translated practice probably could be translated those who do such things, because the point here is not whether this is something that you're like practicing your backhand in tennis. It's the idea of those who are doing something. Notice it says will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's important to recognize this talks about inheriting. It's not talking about getting in. Inheriting the kingdom here, it's also in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Mm-hmm. It's also in Ephesians 5:5 to 7. All three have what are called vice lists. Remember we had Miami Vice? Well, this is Paul's...
Corinth Vice.
Corinth Vice, right? Notice some of the things he mentions here. You know, people like to pick out things like drunkenness and murders and revelries, maybe idolatry or sorcery, but they don't typically pick out jealousies. Oh, you mean you're not going to inherit the kingdom if you have a problem with jealousy?
Selfish ambition.
Selfish ambition. How about outbursts of wrath?
Oh.
I've had to grow in that area mm-hmm. because when you grow up around alcoholism, it tends to create a lot of internal anger mm-hmm. because there's no control. You're mistreated and the rules are constantly changing. Things are just topsy-turvy. As a result, that's something I've had to deal with. But my point is, what Paul is talking about here is not saying if you've committed any of these sins, you're not going to rule with Christ in the life to come. It's not talking about getting in. It's talking about ruling, inheriting. And secondly, what it's saying is, if you are a person who's walking in the flesh, read Galatians chapter 5. There's two options, walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit.
Right.
If you walk in the flesh, it produces these kinds of things. If you walk in the Spirit, it produces verses 22 and 23. the fruit of the Spirit. What is walking in the flesh according to Galatians? A lot of people think walking in the flesh is the person who's willfully rebelling against God. Not so, grasshopper. Walking in the flesh in Galatians is following the Judaizers. It is thinking that somehow, if I'm circumcised and keep the law of Moses, I'll be holy. Mm-hmm. And what Paul says is, if you're circumcised and follow legalism, you're going to Galatians 5:15, bite and devour one another. That's what happens in legalistic churches. People look at someone else and go, Sister so-and-so can't be saved anymore, because did you see what she did?
She lost her anger.
Or she was jealous. You know, she's a person who can't be saved. And that happens all the time. They're biting and devouring one another. Walking in the Spirit is not the person who is keeping a whole list of the do's and don'ts. This is a person who's walking according to liberty by which Christ has set us free, Galatians 5:1. We're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under the commands of the New Testament called the law of liberty or the law of Christ or the royal law. But we don't walk by focusing on the commandments. We walk by focusing on Christ. And that's what walking in the Spirit's all about. Mm-hmm. We love Jesus, and we grow to love him more and more. And because we love Jesus, it produces the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not saying that the person who is a spiritually minded believer never gets jealous, never has an outburst of anger. What it's saying is the way the person is living is in a spiritually minded way, and we're not characterized by these sorts of things, but we're characterized by the kind of things spoken of in verses 22 and 23, which, by the way, I think are corporate. I think what this is talking about is if you in the Church of Galatia walk in the Spirit, you're going to experience love amongst yourselves,
exactly.
Joy amongst yourselves, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But if you're walking according to the flesh, you're going to experience all these things in your body, and you're going to end up as a church biting and devouring one another. Excellent questions, Eric. When we come to a passage that's confusing, always realize it can't contradict clear scripture like John 3:16 or Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and then study the context more. And I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org because we have thousands of articles that you can look at.
Right.
And there's a search engine there. Just click on the little magnifying glass.
I've done that many times and learned a lot.
I do it all the time, even for articles I wrote, because I can't remember what I wrote. And so someone says, what do you say about this? So I go, I do it, and then I send them a link. Well, remember, what do we do, David?
Keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, why is it harder for rich persons to be saved? Does the Bible say this? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.